Welcome to the Calvary Came Through broadcast from Chattanooga, Tennessee. We invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes to listen to a message from the Word of God by Evangelist Tracy Trivett. Join us now as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.
Hello and welcome again to the Calvary Came Through broadcast. This is Tracy Trivett. I'm glad you could join us this afternoon. I pray that the Word of God will be a blessing to you. If you're in a place where you can get to your Bibles, I'd encourage you to go with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to read a few verses of Scripture beginning in verse 17. In Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 17, Paul says, "But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I thought the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." Notice verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." We're going to look at these few verses of Scripture tonight, and I want to speak to you on this thought: Christ as the life in us. Christ as life in us. Lord Jesus, I come to you confessing that if there's anybody that's unworthy to even hold this book, much less preach from this book, it's me. And I confess that I need you at this time and this moment to do something that I cannot do. I need you to take these muttered and mustered words of mine, God, and somehow use them and mold them to touch somebody's heart. God, it's your word that's going to go out, and I pray, God, that it would touch somebody's heart. I claim the promise that it will not return void. It's in your name that we ask all these things. Amen and amen. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he had written the letter, and it was very important to them. The Galatian people was very important to Paul. They were a help to Paul in a lot of many ways. But the Galatians had gotten to a point where they were being drawn away from the true faith in Jesus Christ. They were being deceived, and the Jews were trying to get them and to convince them to go back almost into a system of works instead of faith. They were trying to convince them of circumcision being a tool of things that will get you to God and different things. And they were being led astray by what Paul had originally told them, that it was faith in Jesus Christ, not works. But they were being deceived and being led away. And this letter to the Galatians was more or less a fighting letter for Paul. He was being very adamant and very certain about the things that he was trying to get across to them. He was telling them, you know, don't compromise the things that God has given to you. He reminds us that Christ is our life. Christ to the believer and in the believer is our life. We have no other life outside or apart from Christ. The Galatians, much like in our day today, the church has been drawn away in so many different ways. We've got this theology and this doctrine that is being preached that we can earn our way or buy our way into heaven, and that's just not true. We've cut out the gospel in so many areas. We don't want to become offensive to people. You've got to be politically correct and be socially correct. We try to be user-friendly to everybody around us. And I think the letter to Galatians that Paul had written to them should serve as a reminder to us today that it's still Jesus plus nothing and minus nothing. He's still our life. He's still our hope. He's still our joy. He's everything to the believer. But Paul reminds us in these verses not just what Jesus is to the believer, but he reminds us who Jesus is in the believer. So many times throughout Paul's writings, he refers to Christ as in me, or in you, or in us as a group of people. And he reminds us over and over again what Christ is in the believer. In these verses, it's no different. He reminds us once again in verses 20 that Christ is in us as our life. It's Christ that liveth in us. There's a few things I want to draw out to your attention today out of these verses, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. First of all, notice the sacrifice that brings life. The sacrifice that brings life. Paul starts off by saying in verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." Paul was a self-sacrificing preacher. Paul was the same one who said that I have to die daily. He told us that we got to take up our cross. He told us all through the book of Romans that it's this self-denial, it's this dying of yourself that we got to get out of the way. And when we die, that Christ will begin to live in us. Now, Paul was one of those preachers that we need just a few more of today. We've got this high thinking of yourself philosophy that's going out. You feel good about yourself and you have high expectations and high hopes and everything will work out your way. Well, the bad news is nothing will work out your way if you're depending on you and yourself. The truth is that me and you have to get out of the way. If we're ever going to know the true meaning of life, it's going to take me and you nailing ourselves to that cross and getting out of the way. Notice a couple of things. The crucifixion of self, Paul said, I am crucified. Before Paul ever starts pointing fingers or preaching to a congregation, he picks up the hammer, he takes the nails, and he nails himself to the cross. And he reminds us one more time that it's got to start in you. There's a lot of people in our churches that we've tried to crucify, that we've tried to nail down. There's a few people in our homes that we probably like to try to crucify. But the truth is it's got to start with you. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. It is me that has to get out of the way. Before anything else can come to fruition in my life, before anything is ever going to change for the good, it's going to take me getting out of the picture. It's going to take me getting out of the scene. Before you can go and try to crucify anything else, any habit, any chain, or anything else in your life, you got to first be willing to lay yourself on that cross, to lay yourself on that altar. Paul's the same one who challenged us to lay our lives down as that living sacrifice, as our reasonable service unto God. And Paul was just that type of preacher. And this truth that he's reminding us of today still stands strong today. It's still not about us. It's still not about what we can do in ourselves. It's not life that we can bring to each other or that we can give to ourselves. Our life only comes through our death. When we die, when we decrease, and Jesus increases in us, then and only then will we ever know life. It's about this denying of yourself, denying of everything that you are, everything that you hold on to, everything that you love, everything that you aspire for, your dreams, your opinions, everything else, laying them down, nailing yourself to the cross, and following Jesus. My wife has me on a diet. We actually, as a matter of fact, today we just changed to another diet. She's robbed me of everything that I hold dear. I can't have potatoes. I can't have tater chips or tater fries or tater anything, and it's driving me crazy. But the whole thing is that she's wanting me and herself to become a new person. She's wanting me and her to shed a few pounds and get in shape and become new people together. But the thing is I've come to realize is that I cannot be on this diet, never expect to become a new Tracy if I'm not willing to give up the things that the old Tracy liked. I'll never be able to see myself fitting into this mold that me and her have in mind if I don't ever decide that the old Tracy and his want of this and his want of that has got to get out of the way. Until I deny me and everything about me, I'll never know what this new me could be like. It's the same way in our Christian life. Paul said, I am crucified. There's a certainty to that statement. There's not this, well, I may be someday crucified. Maybe one day when I get around to it, I'll be crucified. Paul says, I am crucified. He nails himself to the cross and he settles it then and there. There's not only this crucifixion of himself, but there's a crucifixion with Christ. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, when Paul says this, he reminds us one more time of what Jesus did for me and you. We love to rejoice and get so excited over the fact that Jesus Christ gave his life for me and you so that we could be saved, so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. That's why he said he came. And we love to glory in the cross and remind ourselves of what he did. But keep in mind, when Christ died on the cross, he died for our sins. And that is something that only he could do. I could not die for your sins because I too am guilty. You could not die for my sins because you are guilty as well. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the only person who was worthy and able to die for our sins. Now, he alone could do that. But he also died to free us from our sins. Now, you're going to misunderstand this statement if you don't follow me here. But both of us have to die. Jesus died to free us, but me and you both have to die to free us from our sins as well. Paul told us in Romans chapter 6 that if we die, if we are buried in the likeness of his death, and we are raised in the likeness of his resurrection, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Me and you have to die if we're ever going to know life. But it's that crucifixion with Christ. He said, I am crucified with Christ. We're dying for the same cause that He died for. He died to set us free from our sins. And if you ever want to be free from your sins and you nail yourself to that cross with Christ and say, I am a sinner. I cannot be free apart from you. I cannot be forgiven apart from you. Therefore, I take on my cross. I nail myself to that cross. And you're reminded one more time of this sacrifice that brings life. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It ain't me in the picture anymore. I have nailed myself to that cross. My wants and my desires and my ideas and my opinions, they're out of the picture. They're gone. It is now Christ that lives in me. I'm crucified with Him and I'm dead. I'm out of the picture. There's this sacrifice that brings life. If we're ever going to know this life more abundant, this life victorious, this life that's full of unspeakable joy and full of glory, if we're ever going to know the life that Christ wants us to have, then friend, me and you must get out of the picture. We must be out of the way, because me and you in our flesh and in our sins and all of our shortcomings will never know what this life is truly about. We'll never know what it's like to be free by our own motives and our own initiatives. Only in Christ is there life. Apart from Him, there is nothing but death. The wages of sin is still death, and apart from Him, we'll never know what it's like to have the gift of God that is eternal life. There's the sacrifice that brings life. I am crucified with Christ. But notice, secondly, the source that brings life. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now notice this statement, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I learned as a young child, this is going to seem a little silly, but I loved music, and I learned at a young age, if you're going to listen to music, you might as well do it right. And I'm not proud of this, but it used to be, before God got a hold of me, I listened to some bad, bad things. I listened to some junk, but I had a system in my truck. I learned if you're going to do it, you might as well do it right. And I had a little bitty box S10 truck. I had two 12-inch MTX Road Thunder design speakers in the back with a 225-watt amp. I had the JVC CD player with the little cartoon that goes while you're driving. I mean, I had the hookup. And you couldn't get around me without hearing that thing and feeling that thing. People next to me, their cars were bouncing. They were yelling at me, telling me to turn it down. My wife hated to ride with me. I embarrassed her everywhere we went. But you couldn't get around it without hearing that doom, doom, doom. You couldn't get nowhere even close to it without feeling the power of the truck. Now, was it me making that racket? No, it wasn't. Was it my truck? The truck barely got me to where I needed to go. It definitely wasn't a truck. It was the power that I had behind the seat that was making a difference. And when folks got around me, they felt the power. They heard the power. They sensed that something was going on, but they could tell that it wasn't me. In much the same way, the source that brings life in me and you is nothing that we can concoct. It's nothing that we can manifest in ourselves. It only comes from the source, and that source being Jesus Christ. Paul says, it's not me. Ain't nothing I can do, nothing special about me, but it's Christ that liveth in me. Now, Paul said he's dead, but he still lives. He said, I am crucified. I'm dead with Christ, but nevertheless, I live. How can he live? It's from this source. What kind of source? What happens when this source, our source of life, is Jesus Christ and nothing more? The first thing that happens is there's a life of change. He said, it's not I, but Christ. Notice that. There's a difference. It used to be Paul, but now it's Christ. It used to be me and my wants and everything that I hung on to, but now it's Christ. When Jesus moves in, there's a change. There cannot be Jesus without there being a change. There cannot be salvation without there being a change. I have trouble with somebody who says, yes, I'm a believer, but they continually live in sin and never bothered by it, never stirred by it, never moved by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus moves in, that's where the decrease comes in, because He increases. And when He increases, you got to get out of the way. There cannot be Jesus and something else. It cannot be Jesus and the old man. It's Jesus and Him and Him alone. There's nothing else. When Jesus comes in and He becomes the source of our life, there's a life of change. Paul said, it's not I, but Christ. Not only that, there's a life of purpose. When I think about this thought that Jesus Christ indwells inside of me, that He sent His Holy Spirit to give me life, that He called me out, that He picked me up out of that miry clay, when He set my feet on the solid rock, but that He counted me faithful for some reason and thought to use me. For some reason, as Paul said, He put me into the ministry. Now, some of you may say, well, I'm not in the ministry. I'm not a preacher. I'm not this. I'm not that. Do not be misled. He has called you and He has saved you and brought you life for a purpose. I believe that God is in us to guide us and to show us what our life is all about. He didn't save you to warm a pew. He didn't save you to sit there and twiddle your thumbs. He saved you for a purpose. I think about my little boy. Every day I'm learning more and more and realizing it every day that I'm a father. And every day I realize that he depends on me for every facet of his life. We're trying to potty train now. We're trying to do this. We're trying to do that. And every day I'm reminded more and more that this child depends on me as his source of life. I've got to provide for him. I have to show him how to walk. I have to show him how to do things, how not to do things. And he depends on me for guidance. He depends on me for his purpose, to show him how he does things, how he does this, and how he does that. In the same sense, he lives inside of me. He dwells inside of me, and he's guiding me and teaching me and showing me what to do, what not to do. He's teaching me how to walk. He's teaching me how to talk. He's teaching me how to work for him because he called me and he saved me for a purpose. He dwells in us for an important reason. Some of you may feel like you're not being used. You may feel like you don't have any abilities. You don't have any talents. You don't have anything you're good at. I like how Vance Havner put it. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He saved us and he indwells us for a purpose. Not only a life of change and a life of purpose, but a life of power. Listen, I remember in I believe it was in John chapter 5 where Jesus told the disciples, if you don't eat my flesh and drink of my blood, in other words, if I don't indwell you, if I don't live inside of you, then you have no life. You have no power. You've got nothing inside of you that's driving you. In the same sense, apart from Christ, if he does not dwell in us, then we don't have a source to bring us power. We don't have a source that brings us life. But on the other hand, if he lives in us and he indwells in us, then me and you can have a life that's full of power. I remember when I began to start preaching, I cried and I went home one night and I prayed and I just got so discouraged because I felt like I didn't have the power when I preached. I didn't feel like I had power on me when I preached. And I talked to my dad about it, and when I first went to him, I thought he was being kind of cold with me and callous with me. And I said, Dad, I don't feel like I got any power when I preach. And he said, well, you're absolutely right. And I said, Dad, no, you don't understand. I'm praying for it and I'm asking God for it. And I just don't feel like I haven't. And he put it to me this way. He said, don't be looking to feel the power of God because you'll never find it. He said, the power of God on you and in you and through you is not something that you're always going to feel, not even something that you're always going to see. He said, the power of God in you is something that works in the lives of those around you. He said, the power of God when you preach is manifested in those people that you may never hear them say anything about it. They may never pat you on the back. They may never cry. They may never shout. But it's that working that only he can do through you and through his words. Listen, he saved us to give us a life of power, to use us in this life of purpose. And thank God he did bring a life of change. There's that source that brings life. Paul said, it's not me, but it's Christ that lives in me. Are you getting discouraged? Maybe you feel a little down, a little weak in your walk and in your service for Christ. Can I ask you, who's at the wheel? Who's running this thing? Is it you or is it Christ? Because if it's you, then you'll never have this life of change. You'll never know a life of purpose, and you're definitely never going to know a life of power. But when it's yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me, you can have a life of change. You can have a life of purpose and a life of power. The third thing I want you to notice is not only the sacrifice that brings life and the source that brings life, but notice thirdly, the struggle that brings life. Notice what Paul says. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now notice what he says. He said, the life which I now live, notice this phrase, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, Paul reminds himself and reminds us one more time. He is crucified with Christ. He's born again. It's not him, but Christ that lives within him. But guess what? Paul just, he ain't quite home just yet. He's not free totally just yet. And when I read that statement, he said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It reminds me that even though we are saved, even though we do have a promise that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, friends, we still do face struggles in this flesh. We do still face times and trials and temptations in this flesh. But why do we do it? Had God saved us so that we'd never have to face these things? He had called us home the minute he saved us. But he didn't. He left us here, and we do go through struggles. But the promise is that we go through struggles for a reason. Why does this struggle bring life? What is it about this struggle that brings life? Notice, first of all, struggles for our learning. How many of you out there have ever had to learn from your stupid mistakes? I remember I was about 15 years old. I decided to do a little cooking excursion in our family home. It turned into a blaze that caused the Eastridge City Finest to come down and to stop my house from being burnt to the ground. And me and my family lived in a hotel for about a month and a half while our home was revamped and remodeled. And I came out of it a little discouraged. I got a new bedroom paint job and I got some new smelling clothes. But I came out of it learning that I am no Chef Boyardee. It was hard to go through it. It was hard to face the struggles that my family went through. But I came out of it learning. And sometimes God does allow us to go through our struggles for our learning. Did he allow that? I can't tell you. I think it was my stupidity, but it made a good illustration. Paul reminds us that God uses struggles and trials in our lives for our learning. You remember Paul's thorn? It wasn't removed. Paul went to God three times and said, "Remove this thing from me." And God said, "No, I don't think I will. But remember, Paul, my grace is sufficient." God reminded Paul that you do have this struggle. You do have this trial. You do have this thorn. But he learned out of it that God's grace was sufficient for him. In Paul's thorn, we learned that in our trials and our circumstances, that God's grace is sufficient. How many times have we entered a storm and came out more grateful and more aware of the fact that God's grace is still enough, that God's grace is still powerful, that God's grace is what it has that's led us safe this far, and it's His grace that'll lead us home. Our storms and our struggles come about for our learning, but not only for our learning, but you see, our struggles come about for His glory. God is not just a spectator, according to what some of us may think. We may think He's sitting up on His throne, kick back laughing at us and our trials and our circumstances. You remember Paul's thorn? God said, "I won't take it away, but remember my grace is still sufficient." Paul said, "All right, then I would most gladly, therefore, glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul said, "That's fine, Lord, as long as You're with me. As long as I've got Your grace, then I'll just glory in my infirmities. Even in my thorn, Lord, I'm going to give You glory because I believe that You've got a purpose and You've got a plan." How many times have we seen God use our storms and our trials for His glory? I look at my old life, how ashamed I am of what I used to be and who I used to be. But I've seen God take an old drunk sticking behind the pulpit where He's able to reach out to those who are in bondage of the things that I used to be in. He's used my old hateful, wretched past to use it for His glory. I'll never understand it. Think about Job. Job said, "Though He slay me, yet I will praise Him." He used that storm and that trial still and yet to bring glory to Himself, to honor Himself, and use Job as a testimony of what God can do in our lives and even through our storms for our learning and for His glory. Jesus never told us that we wouldn't face trials, that we wouldn't face storms, but He promised that He'd be there for us. He promised that whether it be in our flesh a thorn or in our spiritual life a thorn, He promised that His grace would be enough and that we could rest in knowing that He'll be there with us, that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And these things can be used and turned around and used in our life to bring Him glory. When we look at this text, we saw the sacrifice that brings life. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me." The source, he said, "yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me." The struggle that brings life, Paul said, "Yes, it's Christ. It's no longer me, but guess what? I'm still in this flesh. But the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." That brings me to this last thing. Notice not only the sacrifice that brings life, the source that brings life, and the struggles that bring life, but notice lastly, the support that brings life. Notice what he said again. He said, "This life that which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Paul is much like Charles Spurgeon. Somebody once told Spurgeon, "All your sermons sound the same." And Spurgeon said, "You know what? You're absolutely right. I find my text and I make a beeline for the cross." It wasn't long before Paul pointed us back to Calvary, before Paul reminds us that he loved us and he gave himself for us. And we're reminded one more time that it is Christ that brings life, and He brings it through His support in our lives. Yes, we do still face trials. We do still face storms and circumstances. But we have a support system in Jesus Christ that this world can't provide, that this world can't match. What do we see? We see the how of faith. He said, "I live by faith." Paul reminds us one more time that it's not works, it's faith. Thank God it's not works. Thank God I can't earn my way, because had it been left up to me, I'd be stuck. I'd be lost. I'd be down in the depths of my sin, in the depths of my despair. But thank God it is by faith. It's simple. We are saved by grace through faith. Now, if I can illustrate it this way, if I was saving money to try to go and take a trip to Washington to take a tour of the White House, and I saved up all my money, I worked and I scrimped and I saved, and I was going to go to the White House and hopefully maybe to meet the president. That would be one thing. You'd say, that's possible. That could be done. But what if I was saving up all my money and I was working and I was trying the hardest I can, and I walked into the White House. Let's say I even got to go into the Oval Office, and I stepped up and I said, W, I've saved all my money so I could come up here that you would adopt me and make me your son. You'd say, it's impossible. It wouldn't happen. Well, you're absolutely right. One look at me and who I was, he wouldn't take me. But thank God it's not by works. It is by faith. It is by faith in Jesus Christ. He said, whosoever will, let him come. If we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in that heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall, you will, you have to be saved. It's God's word. It's not works. It's faith. The only way that we can make it in this life is through faith in Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace through faith. It's still faith, and without it, it's impossible to please Him. A righteous man, he liveth by faith. We live by faith. We move by faith. Everything we do is based on this faith in Jesus Christ. That's the how of faith. How can we make it? How can we make it through our storms and our trials? How can we live a life that's sacrificed? How can we live a life where we know the source and have a life of purpose and power? It all comes through this faith that we have in Jesus Christ. But we also see the who of faith. He reminds us in the last part of verse 20, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The who of this faith, the one that we trust in, the one that we lean on, the one that we run to, is still Jesus Christ. There is still no other name given among men under heaven, among men, whereby we must be saved. It's still Jesus. It's Him. He's the only hope we got. He's the only one, our only refuge. He's our only rock. He's our only sustenance. He's our only support. He's the only thing that we have. Who is our faith in? Paul reminds us it's in Jesus, the one who died and took our punishment. Who is our support in? It's in the one who promised He'd never leave us nor forsake us. It's in the one who promised He'd be a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This support that we have in this life, not our life, but the life that we now live in Jesus Christ, comes from Him. Paul reminds us in the early part of the chapter that our justification comes from Christ, that our support comes from Christ, that everything that we have in this life is based on Him. Jesus Christ to the believer is precious. But one of the many things that He is in the believer is our life. Without Him, there is no life. We can't earn our way. We can't buy our way. There's no way but through Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to know that because He lives in me, because He dwells in me, I have the blessed hope that I have life here more abundant and life hereafter everlasting. Lord Jesus, take this word and use it for Your glory and for Your honor. In me, there's nothing good and there's nothing that I can even accomplish. So take this word and bless it for Your name and for Your glory. Amen and amen.
It is our prayer that today's message has been a help and blessing to you. If you'd like a copy of today's message, it's available on cassette for a gift of $5 and on CD for a gift of $10. To place an order or to contact Brother Tracy, write to Calvary Came Through, care of Temple Baptist Church, 3204 Clio Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37407. Please enclose your gift, along with the name of the message and the date of the broadcast. You can also email Brother Tracy at tracy@calvarycamethrough.info. Please join us again next week at this same time as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.